Today on Real Radio.
And so in hypocrisy, they drummed up false witnesses and tried to pay people to get their stories together, which were false stories, and they couldn't even do that. Who's on trial? Jesus Christ had the world on trial. And his name puts people on trial today. The scriptures are going to tell us in a moment, what evil has he done? And that's the great question.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John, chapter 18. We're in a sub-series called The Way of the Cross. It's a look at verses 24 through 40 of this chapter, and the events that eventually came to be called the kangaroo court that the Messiah went through before his execution. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
So the scripture tells us that Jesus is brought to the Praetorium, the Antonio Fortress that Herod the Great had built for his good friend Mark Anthony. By the way, many of us have stood in this room, in this place that you're seeing. We've stood there. We've been there. They play a game there, and it's been etched in the ground since the time of Christ. It's called the King's Game. From that location to where Pilate sits in his judgment seat, you can hear shouts. If you were down below where we are at, where the prisoners are kept, where in this case Barabbas is kept and Jesus would have been kept, you could hear the roar of people up on the pavement up over your head, but you couldn't hear just common conversations. You weren't that close, but you were close enough. Everybody with me? When Pilate spoke, authority demanded that he speak calmly. Remember that. The crowd, they're going to be yelling. The crowd would begin to increase in its yelling. But the amazing thing is, and again, I want to challenge the skeptic this morning. We have stood on the actual pavement of the Praetorium in the Antonio Fortress in Jerusalem. It's there with the markings, with all of it unearthed and uncovered. Stones that Jesus himself walked on. Absolutely amazing. Pilate had no legal Roman charge to bring against Jesus. He had none. The religious Jews, though, out of envy, couldn't stand Jesus Christ. Hypocrisy will go to all lengths, even murder. And so in hypocrisy, they drummed up false witnesses and tried to pay people to get their stories together, which were false stories, and they couldn't even do that. Who's on trial? Jesus Christ had the world on trial, and his name puts people on trial today. The scriptures are going to tell us in a moment, what evil has he done? And that's the great question. The way of the cross uncovers human hypocrisy, having a critical heart. This is what happens. And then what happens when hypocrisy is in charge? You live out a lie, and you'll even drag people into a mess when you're living out a lie. Then Pilate went out to the man and said, "What is the accusation that you bring against this man?" And they all answered him and said, "If he were not an evildoer, would we not have delivered him to you?" Come on, the religious leader said to Pilate, "If he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't be here. Sit in your seat and make a judgment." By the way, the word that they used here in their hypocrisy of John 18, 19 to, or 29 to 30, I should say, is that the word that is used is that if he were not an evil man, the word means if he has not been a malefactor since birth. They're accusing Jesus of being a thief, a robber, and a bad man since his very birth. That's what they're accusing him of. Pretty amazing, huh? But Pilate knows nothing of this. if he was an evildoer? Do you think if he wasn't an evildoer, do you think we would have brought him to you? The crowd's asking Pilate, just believe us, Pilate. It's the way it goes. Well, Pilate is between a hard place and a rock. You look at verses 31 to 32, the hypocrisy causes us to pretend often about what is right, but not right in our own hearts. It's very amazing. They think they're doing God a service. Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your own law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, but that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which was spoken of, by what death he should die." And that's very important, because the Bible teaches us that after they had beaten Jesus, another gospel tells us that Pilate comes out and says, "Behold the man." I mean, look at him, he's mutilated. And then he throws down from his seat, from his porch, the letter of death. The license for them to do. When they said to him, "Listen, it's not lawful for us to kill a man." That wasn't true, people. The Jews could kill anybody for religious blasphemy by stoning. To prove my point, how many times did they pick up stones in the Gospels to kill Jesus? Well, in a couple of months from the crucifixion of Jesus, aren't they going to pick up stones and kill a guy by the name of Stephen? "Oh, it's not lawful for us to kill anybody." Lie. Your hypocrisy has turned you into a liar. Here's what they're looking for, and it's sneaky. Caiaphas hates Jesus. They're jealous and envious of him. Their bias has festered to the point that their hypocrisy can no longer be contained. It begins to pus out and infuse out into the world. It's leaking. And they begin to arrange and set all of the parameters about how they can kill him. But stoning's not good enough. Because when you stone somebody, what's left is just a pile of stones. That becomes his tomb. No. No, he's got to be crucified. Caiaphas is thinking, he's got to be crucified. Little did Caiaphas know that he's very desirous fulfilling the prophetic word of God. Because the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 21, jot it down or turn there if you'd like. This is a great verse. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. Moses says, if a man be committed of a sin deserving of death, and he is to be put to death, he is to be tola on a tree. His body shall not remain there overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on that day, so that he does not defile the land which the Lord has brought you into. For he who is tola is cursed by God. Say, what? What's tola mean? Are you ready for this? In the English, it's the word hanged. Oh, not this hang. Mark it down, Bible students, important. In your Bible, not hanged. Jews didn't hang anybody. They didn't hang like a cowboy out west. They didn't hang people. They killed them by stoning. Listen to what God's prophesying. God, through Moses, is prophesying the death of the Messiah. The Messiah would be killed by a foreign government. That foreign government would not do it by impalement. That was the previous power, Antiochus Epiphanes. The Messiah would die at the hands of a foreign government that believed in crucifixion. Because the word tola in Hebrew is to be nailed to a tree. That's why in the Psalms, Psalm 22, David says, "They've pierced my hands and my feet. They nailed me to a tree." Wow. That's why they're saying, "Excuse me, Mr. Pilate, sir. We don't have the authority to kill anybody. You do." Actually, what we're really saying is, we want your mode of death used on him, and we know that he hasn't broken any of your Roman laws. We know that according to Roman law and in the worldview, he's innocent. But according to me, I'm jealous of him. And according to the guys that all work with me, we're envious of him. And so we think he ought to die. We don't want him to be around. But we're not altogether powerful here, so we need you to get behind this. And if he's crucified, nobody will ever ask any questions about a crucified Savior, because crucifixion is synonymous with traitors and thieves and murderers and insurrectionists. The worst of the worst. So will you please do that for us, sir? And they manipulated him. Whenever a person is a hypocrite, they will manipulate things. You can't separate the two. And if you look with me at third consideration, verses 33 to 37, the way of the cross reveals what we're really made of. This is so tragic. The way of the cross reveals what we're really made of. Verses 33 to 35 says here about our convictions. What are our convictions? What are your convictions and mine about Jesus Christ? Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, listen to this, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this about me?" Wow. Pilate walks in the room. "Are you King of the Jews? Is that what you think?" Jesus is saying, is that what you think? Is that your original thought? Or did somebody ask you to ask me that? You guys, this is awesome. Our God lives, and he's not content to hold a stuffed puppy dog or play with robots. He wants real life. He wants real relationship. Pilate, listen to me. Is that your own thought, Pilate? I wish I could have been there. Pilate, think for a moment. It's just us. Think, Pilate. Think. Did someone put you up to asking that question? Or is this a question that has arisen within your own heart? Because, Pilate, I tell you, if it has arisen within your own heart, I can do something about that. But if someone's put you up to this, Pilate, and your heart has already turned far from me, there's nothing I can do. What are your convictions? Who is Jesus? Do we not need to hear this cry today across our land? Prayer meetings this, prayer meetings that, prayer meetings everywhere. And I'm not hearing much about Jesus anywhere. I'm nervous about that. Makes me nervous. Anybody come northbound this morning on the 71 freeway? Anybody see the banner on the property? We'll have to move it over so you can see it better. Listen, you know why we put that up there this week? It's 50 feet long. You got to see it. It's 48 inches tall, 50 feet long. It says, and we put it up there because of the lack of a certain name we haven't been hearing since 911. I haven't heard much about Jesus since 911. Heard a lot about God, but nothing about Jesus since 911. September, you know what 911, right? September 11th. So when you drive down the freeway now and you look at the property, it says on there, "America needs Jesus." Amen. And that's a fact. All the things that are going on in the world around us is exposing what the world is made out of. Quite frankly, I'm glad Jesus is our foundation. But do you know him? See, Jack, you're getting kind of hard on here. This is all I'm saying is, Pilate, he's saying, "What's your conviction about me?" There's no fuzzy. You guys, we need to wake up. You know what? I got news for you. I had somebody ask me the other day, "You know what? I just have a hard time waking up." They asked me a question. "How do I do this? I just have a hard time waking up." Well, I got news for you, I told them. You're not going to have, in the very near future, you will not be having a hard time getting up. You will be running to church. Some people are laying in bed today. "Oh, I didn't make it today. Oh, next week." Boy, we really got out of bed the day we heard of that news, huh? Yeah, and then the Sunday the following, whoo, you were the first one in the car. Wow. The second week was pretty tough, though. Yeah, it had already been a week after the bombing, so kind of hard to get out of bed. So, I don't know. Maybe there'll be some other disaster next week that will help us get back to church again. I stole that from a Fox News interviewer. "What's going on in your church?" they asked this pastor. "Oh, it's swelled up tremendously. How's it now?" "Oh, it's about half size as it was." Need another disaster to get that church filled in. No, how about hearts get right? See, man's got a heart, isn't it? I don't know. You know what? We've all heard about fair weather followers and sunshine disciples and Christianettes. Yeah. You know what Christianettes? No, it's true. Christianettes. There are a lot of them. There's this movement going around. There's pastorettes that produce sermonettes for Christianettes. And it's really a big deal. It's a big deal. But Jesus said, and this is not for the Christianette. So this may hurt some of you. Luke 9:23 says, Jesus speaking, "If anyone comes after me," he says, "Oh man, I'm going to come after you. Yeah. Okay, good. Then I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily." Say what? I don't know. Somehow, as I look to the dedication of these terrorists in New York, they were not recreational, fair weather, sunshine disciples, were they? They were committed. They were committed. They were not Muslimettes. They were completely committed. Wow. Say, Jack, are you saying that we should get completely committed and fly airplanes into buildings? No, our doctrine is the exact opposite. We should get completely committed and cover this world with the life-changing news of Jesus Christ. You guys, we're not concerned about this physical world. Have we forgotten? This is not our home. We're going home. We're en route. Right now, with all the stuff that's going on, I'm going to hang on to something. What are you hanging on to? My car and my bank account. And then, you keep hanging on. It's just dwindling away. Oh, gosh, there goes part of it. Oh, no, look, there goes. It's supposed to happen. You're built on Jesus. He's never going to fade away. The world is going to be crumbling down. Understand this. You can be sure of what God has done for you. Very quickly, we'll end. Look at verse 36. Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world," meaning it's spiritual. Pilate, calm down. "If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would be a bunch of terrorists." Truly, think about it. If my kingdom was of this world, my followers would be terrorists. They're not fighting. Peter came close, but I straightened him out. "So that I should not be delivered to the hands of the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate, calm down. I am a king. Don't panic. Don't get all jealous and freaked out. I am a king over a spiritual realm that this realm someday will have to answer to. Caesar, all of them. But it's spiritual. And my disciples, they're connected to the spiritual realm. The war that we fight, spiritual. This had gotten blown Pilate's mind. It had to be radical, amazing to him. And so we continue quickly, verses 38 to 40. The way the cross exposes our foundations. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After Jesus had said, his words were truth. Pilate says, "Well, what is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again. Pontius Pilate seems to be one of those guys of that time and of that age that did not believe in absolutes. And that's a tragic thing because we're in that time world today. It says in verses 38 and 39, "To the Jews, he says to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Two things. That was a custom. During Passover, the Jews, out of a nice gesture from Rome, you can have some Jew that was arrested. That's nice. Second thing, "I find no fault with him." That was a legal statement that had to be recorded. By the way, if you compile all four Gospels, guess how many times he said it? Three times. It was according to law that Pilate would have to say it three times before it could be recorded in Roman law. Guess what? It was recorded in Roman law. In secular Roman history, Pilate announced that Jesus was innocent three times and thus recorded. Then why did he die? Because God wanted Jesus dead on the cross. The Father had to get Jesus on the cross for our sins. I find no fault with him. Do you want us to release to you this king? But what happens? It says in verse 40, then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. If you put the Gospels together, he was an insurrectionist, a murderer, and a thief. He was a bad man. In fact, one of the Gospels says he was a notorious prisoner. Watch this and we'll be done. Get it in your mind's eye. Here's the platform. Jesus is being discussed. Pilate has to sit on his judgment seat. Below his judgment seat, in jail, in the praetorium, under Roman arrest, is a guy by the name of Barabbas. Guess what? Origen, in 149, the historian teaches us that Barabbas is his last name, like Bar-Jonah. Bar means son of Jonah. Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Barabbas? Interesting. Barabbas is son of a father. It is a term used only for illegitimate children. Barabbas, the son of an illegitimate father. His father, nobody knows. That's what Barabbas means. Matthew chapter 27, here's the scenario. It's spectacular. The crowd comes. Barabbas is in prison. He can hear scuffling going up. If you know the place, we've been there, we've stood there. He could hear the ruckus going on up top. Pilate answers and says to them, which one of the two do you want me to release to you? They cried, listen, he's in the pit. He can't hear anything. But what he hears is, Barabbas! That's got his attention. Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with this Jesus who is called the Christ? Let him be crucified. Barabbas, let him be crucified. That's all I can hear. Man, I wish I wasn't in this hole. Or are they saying, Barabbas, I'm going to be crucified? Then he said to them, and they cried out all the more, let him be crucified, and let the blood of our sons and of our children be upon him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through John chapter 18 and verses 24 through 40, the events that lead up to the Messiah's execution. The Way of the Cross is the title of our study, and in fact, we're listening to portions of part 3. This is a multifaceted sub-series as we journey through the Gospel of John. That means we'll pick up with more of this narrative on our next edition of Real Radio. Now, meanwhile, if you'd like to hear this study again and past studies, and in fact, hear podcasts of future studies, you can log on to www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and find out how. If you'd like to contact us by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Remember also that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions as well. You can participate in any way you'd like by sending in a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Once again, our phone number, 909-393-7100. And here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, if you missed any of this information, it can all be located easily on our website, www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.